It's a beautiful spot, Latimer, but quite a tricky climb down. Is my guest going to have to climb all the way back up afterwards?
No, ma'am. If you look over there, you can see a rope bridge spanning the gorge.
A rope bridge? With a drop of hundreds of feet below it? Oh, no. Something's bound to go wrong. She'll have to go another way.
I've spent all morning cleaning it, ma'am. I've personally checked every single one of the footboards. The rope handrails are in perfect condition.
So nothing Temple of Doomish is going to happen?
We're hundreds of miles from Doomish, ma'am. We're not even in the right dimension.
What? Oh, never mind. Do you give me your word that the bridge is sound?
I give you my word that the bridge is structurally sound, ma'am. The jeep will be waiting for your guest on the other side.
Good. Because if anything happens to that bridge whilst my guest is crossing it, you're going to be in deep trouble.
I understand, ma'am.
Well then, table, chairs, beautiful view, teapot. What could possibly go wrong?
Tea and Jeopardy with Emma Newman.
There's always time for a nice cup of tea and a spot of mild peril. Well, hello there, my lovelies. I do hope you're well and haven't had a photograph of you in the 80s wearing a bum bag go viral on the internet. I'm Emma Newman, and I'd like to welcome you into my secret tea lair for polite conversation, abject geekery, a cheeky bit of cake, and, of course, a nice cup of tea. Do make yourself comfortable, but may I suggest you don't sit too close to the edge? We have a delightful nook in the side of the ravine, but there's no safety barrier, and I would feel absolutely awful were any of you to plunge to your deaths. Latimer has outdone himself and found such an incredible spot of natural beauty. I have no idea why this gorge isn't better known and on every tourist trail in Somerset, but at least it's nice and quiet for our purposes. Ah, the blue sky, the gentle breeze ruffling the trees, and birdsong. Delightful.
I'm sorry to disturb you, ma'am, but your guest has arrived.
Oh, splendid. Let's see her calling card. Mrs. Aliette de Baudard, occasionally mad scientist.
Occasionally. No commitment in the young these days.
Oh, I do like the motif of the bowl of soup and chopsticks.
She posts excellent recipes online, ma'am. I've used several myself.
You haven't cooked anything like that for me, Latimer.
No, ma'am. I've used the recipes when cooking for my friends.
What friends?
Your guest is waiting, ma'am.
Oh, yes. Bring her down, Latimer. For those of you who don't know, Aliette de Baudard is an award-winning short story writer and novelist. Aliette has won a Nebula Award for Best Short Story and another for Best Novelette. She has also won a Locus Award, a BSFA Award, and has been a finalist for the Hugo, Sturgeon and Tiptree Awards.
Mrs. Aliette de Baudard.
Hello, Aliette. Do come and sit down. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. This is a lovely place.
Isn't it wonderful? Yes, Latimer has a knack for finding the most unusual locations for taking tea. Would you care for some tea?
Yes, thank you.
How do you take it?
Plain, with no lemon nor milk.
Okay. And would you like some lemon meringue pie to go with it?
Oh, with pleasure.
Excellent. I'll cut you a big slice.
I'm all for big slices.
Yes, lemon meringue should only be consumed in large slices, I feel. It's a moral obligation I have to give you a large slice. Don't mind the chickens in the pen over there. You're not allergic to feathers or chickens, are you?
Not that I know of. So far, no choking or wheezing noises, so I reckon we're fine.
Good, and we're al fresco, so hopefully there won't be any problems. In my invitation, I asked you to bring a curio with you. What have you decided to bring today?
I have brought a Vietnamese carry basket.
Ah.
It's a long pole with two baskets on either side of it, and my mum mostly uses them as a decorative object, but you can also use it to actually carry some very heavy loads. When we were in Vietnam, I saw lots of people carrying tons of fruit on either side of the basket. And it's also supposedly the shape of the Vietnam country itself is the shape of the, it's called the Chereau de York, York, I believe. That's the official translation.
That's very cool. Handy for when we go to bookshops, I think.
Yep. Still enough of balancing the load.
I have to say that I love the motif on your calling card of the bowl with the chopsticks. And I know that you're very keen on cooking and you share recipes. I was wondering, what is it about cooking that appeals to you the most? Is it the creation of the food or the consumption?
Well, it's a little of both. Though I guess it's mostly creation and the fact that with cooking you kind of know instantly if you've hit the mark or not when people taste it.
Isn't there a bit of pressure, though?
Slightly, but I mean, it's doable as pressure. Except when we're talking banquets, or that sort of formal meals. And in this particular case, I think I would not cook.
Yes. I'm not a foodie and I don't cook loads, but every now and again I get the really powerful urge to bake. And
oh, yeah.
It feels like there's kind of chemistry happening.
Oh, I know the baking urges.
I don't know why that happens. And it is quite rare, but when it does, it's like, well, I just have to drop everything and bake a cake. Do you get that as well?
Yeah, it's generally late at night after I finish wrangling the baby and I go like, I really need a scone. Chocolate scone.
Oh, yes. I think we should have another slice of lemon meringue pie. So another question I wanted to ask you is about your work and how it's earned a huge amount of critical acclaim and a number of awards. I was wondering which award, or perhaps what has been said about your work, means the most to you.
That's tough. It's like asking you to choose between favourite kids. I guess the thing that meant the most to me was when I published my short story, Scattered Along the River of Heaven in Clarkswell. Gardner Dozois compared it to Ursula Le Guin's The Day Before the Revolution, which
is
one of my absolute favourite short stories. So being compared to it was like, okay, I've moved in some kind of parallel universe.
Yes, I can imagine. That must feel fantastic. If you could have a villainous lair like those favoured by James Bond villains, which feature would you insist upon being built into it? Would it be, I don't know, a giant shark tank or...?
I'm more in favour of the biofield moat.
Oh, yeah, I like that.
Or lava or some kind of... Actually, lava is nice because it has those kind of gaseous emanations that mean that you can't actually hover over it either. So it doesn't solve the problem of helicopters as far as defences are concerned, but I guess we can always lob missiles at them until they drop.
Yeah, and I think the nice thing about lava is it has a nice kind of background gurgling and roaring that's quite soothing.
Yeah, it's integrated sound effects, really, and it goes well with manacle lava.
So I understand in your day job that you're an engineer with specialisms in applied mathematics and computer science. Now, bearing in mind my mathematical limitations, which are extensive, could you share a geeky bit of your job that is a favourite of yours?
Geeky part. Well, at the moment, what I'm doing is we're building automated metro lines.
Oh.
So that people can run metro faster. The fun geeky part is like seeing the actual train with your software on it move.
I'm so envious that you can do stuff like that. Mathematics and my brain just don't get along at all. I've heard people talking about mathematics almost like it's art. Oh, an expression of the universe. Do you have that kind of romantic notion about it, or is it entirely functional for
you? I'm afraid this is the bit where the applied comes in. I was never much with the art form kind of thing. I'm a very down-to-earth kind of person, so I like my application. But it's very useful though to really know what it is that you're doing when you especially in my job when I'm programming software and like determining best algorithms. It's kind of nice to know what the mathematical foundations are so that you don't end up proposing something that is too complex or just not plain feasible.
Well, I'm in awe. Now, when I have a friend over for tea, I like to ask people on the Twitters if they have a question that they would like to ask, were they lucky enough to be in my position? And I asked on the Twitters today if anyone had a question, and there was one from the lovely Paul, and he would like to know, what one dish from your Vietnamese heritage do you think everyone should try?
Summer rolls, I think. They're called Gwai Kun in Vietnamese, and they're a sort of giant salad wrapped in rice papers, basically. Most people are familiar with the fried version, but this is like just rice paper softened in water, wrapped around, like, say, salad, pork, shrimp, various herbs, and then dipped in a sort of what we call nước chấm, which is a sort of sweet, acidic, and salty sauce.
That does sound good. Are they quite light?
They're pretty light, yeah.
Yeah, that sounds good. One of the reasons I selfishly invited you here is because I read The Waiting Stars in my Hugo packet, and oh my god, I loved it.
Okay, I'll go blush high. I'm right now. Thank you.
But I mean, really, I'm trying really hard not to go too fangirly, and I'm blushing myself as I'm saying this, but it genuinely excited me. I loved it. Now, am I right in thinking that On a Red Station Drifting is also in the Suya universe? Is it in the same universe as The Waiting Stars?
It is, yeah.
Oh, could you tell me more about it?
Yeah, it's set in at the edge of a powerful empire. Well, once a powerful empire, now said empire has become a little bit embroiled in a big civil war, which has had the result of pulling everybody from the outer edges, and the station in particular is being hit very hard with refugees, deprivations, and all that sort of thing. And it's being managed valiantly by Queen, who is one of the people who was left over and not taken in the draft. And she has to deal both with the fact that the station is falling to pieces on her and the fact that a relative of her, Lin, just showed up as a refugee. And she used to be a high-level official in the Empire, so she's got very definite ideas on how the station should be run, and they don't include the way that Queen has been doing it.
Oh, dear.
These two women basically come to blows over it. Well, I mean, no one actually strikes anyone, but they try to influence the future of the station in their own ways.
Oh, well, I'm sold.
And there's fish sauce, and the centerpiece is an actual banquet. I've always wanted to do that. A story where the climax piece would be a banquet.
Actually, somebody else asked on Twitter if you have a favourite brand of fish sauce.
I probably have, it's just I'd be incapable of giving it to you. The yellow thing with the shrimp on it, and I'm guessing it's only sold in France. It says it's from Fukuok, which is it means the favourite country, and it's like an island off the coast of Vietnam which produces the best fish sauce.
Ah.
The important thing is to look for, like, good quality fish sauce. I think it's Hao Hang or something on the package. And first, there's usually Nhi, N-H-I, which says it's, like, the first, how do you say that? The first pressing.
Okay.
A bit like oil. There's several pressings, and the first one's the most flavorful, and then they sort of decrease.
Wow.
Don't get me started on fish sauce. Hold out a long, long time.
You know, this is one of the things I love about taking tea with different people is that sometimes you discover a vein of knowledge about something that you previously had no understanding of, and you suddenly appreciate just how deep that knowledge is, and it's like a whole new world, a little world being discovered. So I wondered if you have any plans to write a novel or a series of novels in the Suya universe.
I do have plans. They all require major research. So I sort of put it off, and I was focusing on finishing the other novel I had going, which is a sort of cross between a post-apocalyptic fantasy and in a Parisian setting with fallen angels and Vietnamese dragons, because there always has to be something Vietnamese. It's a sort of, dystopic House of Ember, I guess, kind of thing.
Oh, wow. That sounds marvellous. Is that has that been sold to a publisher yet, or is that just something you're working on at the moment by yourself?
Well, hopefully it's going out on submission very soon. I just handed off the last of the submission materials to my agent, so then we'll see.
Oh, fingers crossed, that sounds spectacular. So I was wondering, if you could choose a theme tune for your life, what would it be?
I'm inclined to pick, well, anything by Dar Williams, really, because I really like Mercy of the Fallen, which is a very melancholic song about journeys, difficult journeys, and the people you meet on them, and who are your two friends. And I think it's a very, very appropriate song. I've traveled quite a bit, and, well, there's fun journeys, and that's a fun journey.
Yeah. Cool. Well, the reason I ask is because the chickens over there that have seemed entirely innocuous during the time we've been taking tea are actually quite unusual in that they have an extensive musical repertoire. So I'm going to see if they know your favourite song as well. So, Little Chickens, Mercy of the Fallen by Dar Williams. Oh, and there they go. Well, they'll sing away for a little bit.
Ooh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Pretty impressive for chickens.
Yes, they were a gift from an anonymous secret admirer, so who knows who that was, but I'm very glad that they were so generous.
Yeah, like someone's been doing some funky genetic experiments.
Well, you know, that did cross my mind, but I thought, no, I don't want to think about that too much, I just want to enjoy the singing chickens. Because, you know, if they're going to make singing chickens, what on earth are the other things that they're engineering in this secret lab somewhere? What could they be up to? No, I'm not going to think about that. I'll get anxious. Anyway, I'll just check the teapot. Oh, I'm afraid we're at the end of the tea.
Shame.
Yes. But you're coming. You're coming to Worldcon or Nine Worlds or anything in August?
I'm coming very briefly to Nine Worlds. I'm like dropping by for the day, basically on Sunday, and I'm coming to the entirety of Worldcon. Balanced, however, by the fact that we'll also be doing the entirety of Worldcon with my 11-month-old.
Wow. Well, hopefully I will see you at some point and be able to buy you another cup of tea.
Sure, I would love that.
Well, excellent.
Decaffeinated because, well, never mind. But
I understand. Right
now, it doesn't work quite well.
Yes, I understand. But no, it will be lovely to see you there. So until London.
Until London, definitely.
If you just look over there, you can see there's the rope bridge going across the ravine. Now, I've had a conversation with Latimer, and he assures me that it's perfectly safe, and there are no rotten boards, and nothing silly is going to happen or dangerous. So all you need to do is walk across the rope bridge, and we've arranged a car on the other side, so you don't have to climb back up this side of the ravine.
Okay, sounds good.
Excellent. Well, I will see you in August.
See you in August.
Take care.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
This way, Mum.
You're really sure the bridge is sound?
I am certain of it, Mum.
I'm worrying. Where are the binoculars?
Here you are, Mum.
Latimer, this isn't a pair of binoculars. It's a Viewmaster, with pictures of the Niagara Falls.
My mistake, Mum. I'm afraid I've misplaced them.
Isn't that them over there on top of the hamper?
Oh, yes. There they are.
So, can I have them then?
Yes, Mum.
Heavens to Betsy! Where did all of those huge birds come from?
Birds, Mum?
There's hundreds of them, perched on the ropes, and some of them are on the footboards. She's trapped.
Oh, I thought they were only rumours.
What rumours?
The author eating birds, Mum. They must have been attracted to the scent of award-winning flesh.
Author eating birds? In Somerset? They look like they're about to start pecking her. How awful and embarrassing. I can't believe there wasn't a warning sign.
Yes, it is a little strange.
I can't see one anywhere. Hang on, where did Elliot get that bowl of food from?
Magic food pouch. Fool! I should have expected that, what with the recipes.
What was that, Latimer?
Would you like to see if I can identify the food, Mum?
Yes, here are the binoculars.
Ah, yes. She's conjured up a bowl of beef strips marinated in garlic fish sauce.
How can you tell that from here?
I can smell garlic from a very long way away, Mum.
What's happening? I can only see her arm waving. Is she calling for help?
No, Mum. She's flinging the strips of beef into the ravine. The birds are quite mad for them. They're fighting each other.
And chasing the food instead of her. Very clever. It looks like she's going to make it to the other side. Let me have the binoculars again. I can see something at the bottom of the ravine.
Best not to look, Mom. It may be the bones of a forgotten author from yesteryear.
No, it's not bones. Thank goodness for that. It's a sign of some kind. Danger. There's a picture of a bird on it, Latimer, and it looks in good condition.
It must have been toppled by high winds. Or perhaps the birds dealt with it. Either way, given your current award-nominated status, I feel it would be wise for us not to take the bridge, Mum. I shall arrange alternative transport.
Well, whilst Latimer is attending to that, I'd just like to mention our very own Patreon page, where you can become a member of the Order of the Sacred Teacup. Should you wish to join the Order and discover how Latimer became my butler, go to www.patreon.com/TeaAndJeopardy. Speaking of which, I'd like to raise my teacup to Dirk Rule and Mark Carroll. Latimer, regardless of how that sign ended up at the bottom of the ravine, I think a new one needs to be put in place, just to make sure no other unsuspecting authors fall foul of those birds. Goodness knows the author life is hard enough without the risk of being pecked to death on a Sunday afternoon stroll. See to it, would you?
Very good, Mum.
You've just listened to an episode of Tea and Jeopardy, hosted by Emma Newman. Go to www.teaandjeopardy.com to find out more and join in.